Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Outdoor Citizen Podcast. Your host today, Marty Jones, and I'm joined by the members, founders and members of the SLV Cliffhangers High School Rock Climbing Club. Before we start the interview, I just want to remind everyone that we need some more snow here in the valley, and if you can do some snow dances or pray for snow, whatever you can do to get some more moisture into the valley. It was nice to have just a tiny little dusting of snow when I woke up this morning, but we need much more. Thanks for listening, folks, and we want to again thank Don Richmond for the music that you hear during the podcast and Daniel Boyce for the sounds of the valley's birds. So, as I said, with me today are founders and members and coaches of the SLV Cliffhangers. So Shauna Leese and Sean Slater are coaches and sponsors of the team, Sean from the city and Shauna from the Boys and Girls Club, and Caden Jackson, a climber, a high school member of the high school of the Cliffhangers. So welcome, everyone. Thanks for joining me on the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much, Marty.
So can we get started by you guys each giving me a little bit of your backgrounds and what got you interested in climbing, how you came to be a part of the Cliffhangers? Caden, let's start with you, please.
So I started climbing about a year and a half ago, and it was actually for the church event. And after that, I was kind of just hooked. And so all last year, I climbed with the team in Gunnison, and driving 2.5 hours there and back every night was not great, especially on school nights. So then I reached out this year to Will Rickards, and he was able to help me find some people like Sean and Shauna who were so willing to help us get a team started, and yeah, it was pretty great.
Sean?
I'm the Outdoor Recreation Supervisor and Grants Coordinator for the City of Alamosa Parks and Recreation Department. Will reached out to me asking if this was something that I could help him with early last year around August, just, you know, getting some feelers out, seeing who could help out in some way. We then proceeded to the Boys and Girls Club and was like, hey, what do you guys think? Do you think this is possible? Is this something we can do? And we've been looking for places for our Holler Club to expand for the high school teenagers. So Holler is the high school outdoor leadership group for Alamosa High School. And so we've always been looking ways to grow the group and get it to expand. And Caden reached out and was like, hey, is this a possibility? You know, Adams State is one of the few, if not only, walls within the San Luis Valley. Is this something we can make happen? And so we had a few discussions about it. We reached out to the local climbing group through Colorado. So American Scholastic League Climbing is who we ended up joining as a league. And so we ended up joining as a, making it a club rather than just a team, so we can include kids from all over the valley and include all of those high schools.
And Shauna.
So I'm the outdoor adventure director for the Boys and Girls Club. So that just means we take kids outside and get them off of screens. Part of that is we take kids to ASU all the time. Actually, Sean was part of this really cool program we ran called Pebbles, where we had littles going to the wall at ASU. So when Will reached out and asked Boys and Girls Club to help, it was absolutely, we would love to. So this year we're looking to expand it to a middle school team. And so we'll have elementary, middle school, all the way through high school, thanks to Caden.
Oh, great.
Yeah, we've really worked to design a ladder program, and that's kind of the outdoor goals, you know, with Jen Wild and GoCo and helping with them is ladder programs. So right now we currently have a ladder program from the age of 3 all the way through high school currently. So it's a real goal to keep that and provide that kind of recreation where you can develop a skill all the way through.
Excellent. How did you guys come up with the name Cliffhangers?
That was the kids. So we kind of just left the logo and everything up to the kids and kind of went with it.
All right, Caden.
They kind of just handed us a paper and were like, put your ideas down. And it was actually my friend Kira who came up with the idea of Cliffhanger. She was like, I don't know, I just love that name. I was like, okay, well, let's go with it. We can suggest it. So we ended up putting it in. And then we just added the SLV because we're representing the San Luis Valley. So,
right. And what does the logo look like?
There's like a carabiner with some mountains inside and...
It's very simple.
I thought maybe it had somebody hanging on the edge of a cliff by their fingernails.
No, we had the kids. They submitted at least, I think, about 5 designs that they all submitted. And the common theme was mountains and carabiner. So I was like, okay, well, how do we combine this to keep everyone and just kind of make everyone included? So that's how we ended up with it.
Cool. So the club started just this past August, September, so, something of that sort?
Yeah, we started planning early August once Caden reached out, the coaches in the background, without really including much kids support yet, because we were just trying to figure out if we were capable. Then about a month later, so I'd say mid-September, end of August, is when we started having practices.
And when did competitions start?
Competitions started October into November.
So not too long after you started practicing.
No, we were about a month and a half in.
And these kids are only practicing twice a week. This isn't a Monday through Friday thing, unfortunately. And so the fact that our kids were able to compete at the level that they were only practicing twice a week was absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, it was insane.
Are the competitions primarily individual? Is there any teamwork that's involved? You don't climb as a team, right? Everybody is climbing on their own.
You get your own score. You can score as a team. So it's like everyone's score added up at the end, but mostly it's an individual score, but you do need your team there. It's great to have support and belayers, and you also need witnesses, so they have to sign off to make sure that you did the climb. So, yeah.
And we were able to have one complete team, so we were able to have a complete girls team. We did have a plethora of boys, but they're all from different high schools throughout the valley, so girls, there was enough from Alamosa itself that we did have an Alamosa High School girls team compete.
Describe a typical competition for me.
So you're typically given about 3 hours with climbs 1 through 20, 1 through 30, depending on how big the wall is. And during those 3 hours, you got to get 5 climbs in. So if it's a bouldering comp, you got to get 5 boulders in. But they have mixed comps too, where it's top rope and bouldering. And you get 2 of each, and then it's your one better climb that they add to it. And you would think 3 hours is a long time, but it's really not, especially when you're trying to get the best score possible. You can get pretty pumped out.
So can you repeat climbs if you want? Let's say you've got a particular route that you have to climb. Can you do that more than once to get a better score?
So you're given unlimited attempts, so you're allowed to have several falls on a climb. But it's not... It's still the same amount of points given to you, so unless you flash it. So if you get it on the first time, that's a flash, and that's like 20 extra bonus points, I believe. But without the flash, it's just marking attempts, and it'll be the same amount of points, but that's just to break ties.
Do you scout the route first? I mean, just visually, you look at it and you say, I'm going to put my left hand there, and then I'm going to put my right foot up here, and so on, before you ever start?
Yes, I do. It's really helpful to look at climbs sometimes. Moves are a little different once you actually get to them, because a hold could feel different, but it does help a lot because you know where you generally are wanting to go.
One thing that's really nice about the competitions is, regardless of what team you're on, kids are really good about spreading beta between each other and just making sure, you know, hey, I'm struggling with this, and then coming up to another person and saying, hey, you know what, I did it this way and this was a little bit easier. And so I think that while it's an individual competition, and even though kids are competing against each other, they're more inclined to help each other get to the top, regardless of what that means.
And beta is the term in climbing for giving verbal help to how to climb a climb.
Yes.
Where have the competitions been held?
A lot of our competitions were in spring. We had one in Castle Rock, but they were kind of all throughout. There was like some at Uppergrippen or Pure Bouldering.
Good one at City Rock.
Yeah, City Rock is the... And Gripstone?
Yes.
Yeah.
So what are these climbing walls like? These are all indoor, right?
Yes.
So how do they compare? The only real indoor wall experience I've ever had has been at Adams State. So with that as a background, can you tell me what these other places are like compared to Adams State?
They have a lot higher walls.
Usually about twice.
Yeah, twice the height.
So the wall at Adams State is maybe 50 feet?
30.
It is about 30 feet.
30 and feet.
The ones that are comp on for top rope are about 60.
Yep.
Wow. So that means you have to work really hard to get all the way to the top.
Yes.
Cool. So what are some of the personal highlights for each of you during the season?
I would say being able to get the team together. I love seeing everyone come to practice and just having fun. It wasn't even about competing for me. It was more just getting everyone else into climbing because I love it so much. And I was able to, like, share that to others. So it was pretty awesome.
One of the amazing parts was we have one of the most unique groups of high school kids from the Valley that are just amazing kids to work with. One of the biggest highlights was having a place where there was structured free play for the kids. You know, so often when you go to after school activities, it is completely structured, a minute to minute of what you're going to be doing. But while at the wall, the kids had, while being structured, it was free time for them to go and play and talk to each other and climb and just interact as kids without someone standing over them, giving them a task every 5 minutes to change. And so it just allowed for some free play. That was incredible to watch, and watch the kids develop and create relationships throughout the season.
Actually, it had nothing to do with rock climbing. It had to do with the ski trip we took them on. We took the teens on a ski trip, the rock climbing group, with a lot of the teens from the club for a career day where they were learning about different careers at Wolf Creek. And just to see the amount of teens, I mean, we had, I think, over 20 just show up to go to Wolf Creek, ski, and just have a really good day together. And just, it was just a lot of camaraderie. I mean, we didn't have any bad words said, and it was just so wonderful to see teens having a good Friday and doing wonderful things, just skiing.
Oh, great. Hopefully the snow was at least decent.
That was at the good time of the year. It was December. It was early December.
Yeah, great. Caden, when you were talking about highlights of the season, you didn't say anything about winning the Spirit of the League Award at the state competition. So I'm going to ask you about that. Tell me about the Spirit of the League Award.
Well, I actually didn't know I was even nominated for it, so it came as a really big surprise. So all my coaches had nominated me a few weeks prior, and I don't know, it was just like kind of mind-boggling to go up there, and I was like, I can't believe I did this. It was kind of just a reflection moment for me to see how far I'd come, so yeah.
Cool. Well, it sounds to me like the coaches did a pretty good job of keeping everything on the down low so that you didn't know about it before you went up to the competition.
Yeah,
it was a perfect opportunity to reward her for an amazing, you know, she brought a climbing competition team to the Valley, you know, that had never been done before for high school kids. And so we also expanded the Front Range to San Luis Valley so we could climb there in close neighborhood. And so we expanded their geographical range by an amazing point, and hopefully expanded their reach into the state even further.
Great. So what kind of plans do you guys have for the future of the SLV Cliffhangers?
Oh, lots. We're expanding to middle school next season. We had a lot of parents reach out even when we first started the high school season asking how their middle schoolers can get involved. The American Scholastic Climbing League does offer middle school competitions while we do the high schoolers, so it's not out of the question for us to do it, so we're going to do it. The other is one of the things that we're really trying to do is to make the outdoors equitable. We have one climbing wall for the whole valley, and so we had a lot of kids from Centauri. We had one from Sargent and from Alamosa. And so the real question for next year is how do we get kids from the whole valley to be able to participate in the team? So how are we going to get kids from Sawatch and Antonito and San Luis to participate? So if anybody has any wonderful ideas, throw them our way, because that's our next problem to solve.
And we just continue to grow the Holler Club. You know, the climbing club is just a further extension of that. And just so this summer, we're going to work on getting kids out in different ways. And so continue to grow that. And then we'll start up our climbing club again around the same time next fall and bring all the kids back in.
So what about this summer? Are there plans to do outdoor climbs as a part of an organized group?
Yeah, so currently we have plans to kind of do a scattered couple days throughout the summer, just doing a few random climbs. This spring break for the high school kids, we're actually about to take them down to some climbing down near Taos to do some climbing in a few different places. The other thing we're going to offer this year for the high school outdoor leadership program is a paddle excursion. So just like last year's Blanca challenge, where the challenge was to climb a 14er, this year we're going to try and do paddle our backyard. So we're going to paddle anywhere along the Rio Grande down within Colorado. So just trying to get kids to see, you know, what's in their backyard here and how they can get outside.
Great. What about you, Caden? What are your plans for climbing this summer?
I definitely am going outside. I actually am trying to make it out to places even outside of Colorado to go climb. But I graduate this year, and so my hope is to even stay at Adams next year and help coach and keep it going, because I'd like to see this thrive.
That would be great. So if you go out of state, there's some good climbing near Moab, Utah.
Yes.
There's a place not too far from El Paso, if you want to make an even longer trip, called the Waco Tanks.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, and that's another good spot. But, you know, you don't have to drive very far to get some excellent climbing here in the San Luis Valley. So What kind of life skills were learned during this club or during these activities?
Oh, so many. I see it reflect on my everyday life. Just social skills, because having to go out and talk to a whole high school about joining a rock climbing team was a little scary. But also climbing in general, it teaches you self-determination, self-motivation. You also get to see other people thrive, and just the climbing environment to me seems, it's very laid back and I love it. And just being able to make so many friends, and I don't know, it's just different than other sports, and I love it.
And there are really some good problem-solving skills that you develop.
Yes.
When you come across a route for the first time and you say, okay, what do I need to do now?
It's a great critical thinking exercise.
That didn't work. How can I change my position so that I can actually make that ascent?
Yeah, and I think it also, you learn to fall and get back up again, because you can't be a good climber if you don't take some falls. You got to put yourself out there and make a risk and just see what happens. So, yeah.
What do you think the state of outdoor recreation for young people in the San Luis Valley is like? How could it be improved? Give us some ideas of the current state and what you would recommend for improving it.
I think the current state is hopeful and very optimistic. I see every day where we have the Generation Wild Coalition coming together just to get kids outside and inspired. And I see that growing consistently out of the farm park. We included them in the Boys and Girls Club last year quite a bit, where we were there every week, once a week actually, every day at the farm park. And so I think that I'm hopeful. I see a lot of adults getting together to try to make, you know, things happen for the kiddos. So as long as the adults in the situations are doing the right things, I think that we're headed the right way.
Yeah, so our, you know, Generation Wild Coalition continues to grow and continues to strengthen. We have added several new members moving into this year and next. So it's an amazing opportunity for things to go around here in the San Luis Valley. We also have had, you know, amazing investment into our local communities lately with recreation. So that's continuing to grow. And that's all we can hope for, is that continued investment continues to improve. But no, it's an amazing opportunity to grow our partnerships and continue to spread stuff across the valley. I think we're at a crossroads where, you know, we're set to explode. We're set to grow tremendously over the next 5 years. I think the investment's finally here that we can really take off.
Yeah, excellent. Kaden.
I love seeing what everyone's doing to help this, and I love seeing the youth start getting out and appreciating like the valley for what it is, and it's amazing. I really like it.
Yeah, between the SLV Rattlers and now the SLV Cliffhangers, there's lots of opportunity for young people and some old farts like me too to get outside and enjoy the outdoors. So I want to thank you all for coming in. We've been talking with the SLV Cliffhangers, Kaden Jackson, who's a member of the team, Sean Slater and Sean Elise, who are coaches and sponsors and part of the founding fathers and mothers of the SLV Cliffhangers. Thank you all for coming in, and keep on climbing.
Thank you so much, Marty.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
We'll be right back with some outdoor conditions and news after a brief sponsor break.
Hey everyone, this is Hannah Eubanks with the Valley Calendar Update. Here are the events you can look forward to this week. On Wednesday, head to Narrow Gauge Book Co-op for the Indie Press Book Club at 6 p.m. Adams State University Theater presents Best Football Friends from March 5th through 8th at the Adams State Experimental Theater. Shows start at 7:30 p.m. and tickets can be purchased at the box office or by calling 719-587-8499. This week in Monta Vista is the Monta Vista Crane Festival. Head to Monte to take in the spectacle that is the migration of the Sandhill Cranes. Listen to our most recent Outdoor Citizen podcast with festival organizers Jenny Nearing and Amy Engel for more details. Saturday is the Colorado Grain Festival in Salida and the Congreso de Acequias in San Luis. Train and Post in Del Norte features musician Antonio Lopez Saturday night. This evening is RSVP only, so head to tradeandpost.com to grab tickets. If you have an event coming up, submit it to the Valley Calendar. All you have to do is head to the Valley Calendar page on alamosacitizen.com, click online form, and give us the details. That's all for now. Have a great week.
There are very few landscapes in the world as beautiful as the snow-capped mountains that surround the San Luis Valley, with sandhill cranes flying through the skies. That's what we have this week, thanks to some fresh snow and the thousands of sandhill cranes and migration. The storm that passed through on Monday, March 3rd, brought some critical snow to the San Juan Mountains, including 9 inches of fresh snow at Wolf Creek. The winter overall has been pretty dry, and wildfire managers are on alert for an uptick in vegetation fires. Late winter and early spring typically bring higher winds, such as we're having today. Fires, including ditch fires, can get out of control quickly, so that means pay attention. If there's a red flag warning, please don't do any outdoor burning. Now let's look at the month of February and how it contributed to the renewed concerns about wildfires this spring. So here are some figures that stand out when reviewing a historically warm February. 67 degrees. The high temperature on February 3rd, now recorded as the warmest winter day on record in Alamosa. 8. The number of days in which the mercury reached 60 degrees or above, another record for the month. 7. The number of days in which a new daily high record was established for February. The month ended with an average daily high temperature of 52.8 degrees and overnight temperature of 15.4 degrees. Also, very rare for double-digit overnight temperatures in Alamosa's dead of winter season. And now for some news. This past Saturday, a group of about 40 protesters took to the Great Sand Dunes to protest the mass federal firings and layoffs that are currently underway. Carrying signs with pointed language and upside-down American flags, the group showed their solidarity for the thousands of federal employees who have been laid off this year through federal government cost-cutting move. Here's what some of them had to say.
Today I'm not being polite. Mm-hmm. My sign says, cuts to the National Park Service means bears won't be the only ones shitting in the woods.
In large part, the reason why I'm here today is because over the past few weeks, I've just been watching my friends across the country get fired from their positions in predominantly rural communities where there's not really a lot of recourse to find other work, and where they've been providing a very important role to that rural community, as well as the public lands surrounding it. I think it's really concerning that this is kind of the move towards privatization that the federal government is opting for right now. We've kind of already seen that in some minor ways with like rec.gov, the permitting fees from that website not going to the federal government or towards conservation work, but instead towards a private corporation. I think we can expect to see a lot more of that happening and a lot more resource extraction from our parks, our national forests, and other public lands if this administration continues moving in the way that it has been. I mean, this fundamentally isn't about increasing government efficiency whatsoever. It's increasing the ease at which the government and private actors that are supporting the politicians that are in power right now are able to obtain natural resources from our public lands and take those away from us.
So what's your relationship to the sand dunes?
I live nearby in the area, and I also work in the forestry sector. I've worked in the San Luis Valley with our federal partners down here. And so I've gotten pretty attached to the land here.
We live close to the sand dunes, and for the last 10 years we've been coming to the park at least once a month and maybe twice a month, and we camp here and we hike here, and we're just here to support the people that have kept this park so pristine and so wild that every time we come we have a different experience, and we're just lucky to be able to come and experience this beautiful place. Mm-hmm.
What is the threat of shutting down national parks mean to you? What does that say to you?
Well, it says to us that somebody doesn't want the parks to be taken care of, to be shared by the people all over this nation, and that perhaps they want to take it over and maybe try to get whatever's underneath all this land out, if there's gold, if there's minerals, whatever, or just build on it and luxury homes. And we want to keep this place open and wild, because it is, every time we come we hike, and it's just, it's an experience for everybody to be in a place that's so wild.
Big time.
You know, it's not the city. It's just, you're on your own out here. So,
what does your sign say?
Protect the people who protect our public lands. And since 1997, I've worked as both a trainer and an executive leadership coach, providing educational services and support to people who work as civil servants in our federal government, many different agencies. And what has happened now and is still going on, where people have been randomly selected, not based on merit, but randomly selected. For example, if you've worked here for less than a year, you're gone. Now, anyone who's worked for a federal agency for the past year, our federal government has spent a lot of money to train and educate those people to be successful in the workplace.
Absolutely.
All of that money, all that resources walked out the door because people were told to get out. None of it was based on merit, and the federal government is probably the best organization on the planet that promotes based on merit. Mm-hmm. Not favor, not discrimination. Our country is about equality and mutual respect and dignity. And the federal services have been instructed to no longer abide by professional standards that treat people with dignity and respect. It's appalling.
So one of the things that struck me most about that, and certainly is a fear of mine as well, is the idea of privatization of public lands. I can foresee a future, if the path that is currently underway is allowed to continue, that we will still have national parks, but they will not be public.
Right.
And that some private individual, billionaire, trillionaire, well, no, millionaire, billionaire.
Too far off, though.
Yeah, is going to end up taking advantage of the public lands, of what used to be public lands, putting them into private hands. And there's no guarantee that those folks will manage them for the resource. They'll manage them for profit instead.
And I know that one of our new Secretary of Interior, Doug Burgum, what he's been tasked with is basically overturning regulations or removing restrictive regulations to allow logging on public land, to allow mineral extraction. And kind of the impetus behind it, unfortunately, is they think by tapping into our own natural resources on these, you know, pristine lands will pull us out of debt, out of the $35 trillion debt hole that we're in as a country. They say that there's roughly, you know, on public lands in the United States, $200 trillion worth of resources in oil, which, yeah, cool, it'd be great to get out of the hole, but at what cost?
No, I think that's a valid concern. One of the things that we need to keep in mind is that some of the national forests are helping to slow down the effects of climate change.
Yep.
By not burning more fossil fuels, by not cutting down all the timber. It's just a sad situation that's developing right now. And it's really sad on a personal note for everyone who's a member of the Forest Service or who's an employee of the Forest Service. You know, at the recent science fair, I had lots of employees of the federal government serving as judges. And this is something that they do out of the goodness of their heart and also because they feel it's important to help continue to educate young people and promote their interest in science and mathematics and engineering. And we don't want to lose those employees who are so important to the overall health of our communities.
Yeah, it's a shame what's happening, but seeing, you know, people gather in the best numbers that they can across the nation at, you know, all 433 national parks in an afternoon is, I think, it's very striking. It's very telling.
And more to come.
To come.
There will be additional activities, and here at the Alamosa Citizen, we'll do our best to try to make sure that you're aware of your opportunities to participate in constitutional rights and privileges.
Absolutely. That's the beauty of this. This is protected by the First Amendment, and as much as the threat of the First Amendment is under, I think seeing people
use their civil rights is a really cool thing. It's a really powerful thing.
All right. Well, we have some other news for you now. Some interesting data here from Colorado Parks and Wildlife. CPW reports human-bear conflicts have increased 15% in 2024, thanks to 5,022 reports of black bear sightings and conflicts, more than the previous 5 years. Trash continues to be the number one reason for these conflicts. The most conflicts and sightings occurred in July, with over 1,100 reports. Colorado Parks and Wildlife is now selling fishing licenses for the 2025-2026 fishing season. Fishing licenses are valid from March 1, 2025 through March 31, 2026. Regulations and pricing for annual, daily, and multi-day fishing licenses are listed in the new 2025 Colorado Fishing Brochure. Youth aged 15 and under can fish for free. Anglers can purchase a license online at cpwshop.com, by phone at 1-800-244-5613, in person at a CPW office, and we have one in Monta Vista, or through a sales agent. And there are several sales agents throughout the entire San Luis Valley. And you know, Owen, another really good thing about getting a fishing license is that that also allows you to be eligible for search and rescue at no additional cost.
Yeah, that little surcharge that they put on there is a really big deal.
And it's cheap.
It's 50 cents or something
dirt
like that.
It's cheap. Yeah. But it's a lot better than having to pay, you know, $20,000 to get a helicopter to come and rescue you.
Exactly. It works if you don't get a Corsair card. If you get a fishing license or a hunting license, it's the same thing. And that's the beauty of Colorado.
So. Yeah. Excellent. Next up, some upcoming outdoor events. The 42nd Annual Monta Vista Crane Festival is this weekend, March 7th through March 9th. The weekend will be filled with arts and crafts, speakers, workshop sessions, and of course, a lot of birds to view. Not just sandhill cranes, although that's the premier species here, but there's been lots of ducks coming in. Geese are here all the time. But saw my first bluebird of the winter just yesterday out in the riparian park. So all kinds of birds available. If you've already been out, you may have seen the sandhill cranes around many of the valley's wildlife areas. We're a stopover in their annual migration, and what a spectacle it is. Just to give you a little bit more, here's Jenny Nearing on what we can expect this weekend.
Well, the spectacle of seeing the birds, that's always just a special experience. And it's also one of those things that's never the same. It's kind of almost like going to the sand dunes. One of the reasons I love the sand dunes is the sand dunes are never the same. They're always different. And when you go down to watch the cranes, it's always going to be a little different. You might be fortunate enough to see a golden or bald eagle in the area flushing all the cranes and the geese and the waterfowl, or a coyote trotting through and disturbing things. But I think one of my favorite things is seeing the appreciation that people from the Front Range have for our small community down here, and seeing the San Luis Valley and Monta Vista in particular in a different way. We always get some wonderful feedback about what a charming little town this is. And I love people having that experience.
To learn more about this weekend's events and to purchase tickets, go to mvcranefest.org. This year's Congreso de Acequias is March 8 from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Centennial High School in San Luis. The Congreso is an opportunity for acequia-centered communities to come together to share and learn from one another. The Rio Grande State of the Basin Symposium is Saturday, March 29th at the Adams State University campus from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. For a full list of events, go to adams.edu/about/Salazar-Center. Maria Kramer, Alamosa Library, tells us that they will have a birdhouse making and bird watching walk coming up at the library March 22nd at 1 p.m. It's run by experts from the Alamosa Rec Center, and registration is required at www.alamosarec.com, or you can also register by calling 719-589-2105. And you know, there's lots of good bird watching right here in Alamosa. The Malm Trail, the Oxbow Trails out by the Disc Golf Course, the Riparian Park, lots of good places right here in town to go see birds. The Mountain Film Festival on Tour will be back in Monte Vista April 16th at the Alcalt Sky High Event Center in Monte Vista. General admission is $15. Tickets can be purchased online at mountainfilm.org and searching for Monte Vista, or they can be purchased at the door. Proceeds go towards San Luis Valley Great Outdoors. The doors open at 6 p.m. and the series of outdoor documentaries start at 6:30 p.m. And that ends this episode of the Outdoor Citizen podcast. The Outdoor Citizen is produced and very capably edited by Owen Woods and published by AlamosaCitizen.com. If you have an outdoor adventure you'd like to share, or if there are topics you'd like to hear about in a future episode, send an email to info@AlamosaCitizen.com. Also, if you are a federal employee who would like to share your story, please feel free to contact us. We'd love to hear from you. Alamosa Citizen is working to document the firings at a local level and track what effects it will have on the local environment, both economic and physical environment as well. As always, we want to thank Don Richmond for his song Sea Turtle, and Daniel Boyce for the Sounds of the Valley's Birds. And thanks to you, our listeners, for allowing us to continue on with this podcast. We're starting our third year now of the Outdoor Citizen podcast. And as your host, Marty Jones, I just really appreciate your tuning in and listening. Thanks a lot and have a great time. It's warming up out there. There's a few winds coming this spring, but they're always here in the spring and we can work around it. So thanks, everyone. Have a great day.